This is SPR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every other week. I'm Cliff, he's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
For those that don't know, we're trying to alternate, again, pod social, so we can give everybody what they want. Because there's obviously people that just want to consume on social. And there's people that want the deeper stuff on the pod.
Yeah, we're not doing this very successfully, though, Cliff.
Yeah, it's problematic. Today, my son Logan has diarrhea and has left a trail of diarrhea.
TMI.
On the way to the toilet.
And God, I have
to
clean all that up. Logan will be old enough one day to consume
these old pods. Podcast will be a medium by then. It'll all be telepath, okay? Precog everything.
Back. It's like, my dad does a podcast. He's going to go back and he's going to listen to these old episodes. It's all just stories about them, our kids, that we've told to people, to strangers.
Yeah. No, it's not. Well, some. It's the people, okay? The people aren't strangers, okay? There are people.
They're not strangers, yeah.
There are people. All right, let's get right into it by taking a double step back, looking at the news. First one, Bucks are unstoppable, Joe. 15-game win streak to have the best record to usurp the Celtics. Joe, yeah. Thoughts?
They are crazy. They look unstoppable right now. So a lot of these – well, not a lot, but some of these wins have come without Giannis as well.
Yeah, he hurt his hand.
Middleton still doesn't look great. I mean, when he does play, he just looks okay. Drew Holiday looks like he's taken a step. He's – offensively, he's been playing really well. Brook Lopez – resurgence.
B-Lo
resurgence, man. He's in DPOY conversations, and he's
always been good. Just underrated, man. He's always been good.
I mean, playing like really well, though, this year. Very impactful player. They look pretty scary. I don't know. I'm starting to doubt my Celtics pick earlier in the year.
Your Brooklyn Nets pick?
No. I did not pick the Brooklyn Nets.
The dueling chainsaws?
That was always – we always knew that that was 1 second away from exploding, imploding. So, I mean, you won the Bucks from early. I was on the Celtics early, but I still think the Celtics will end one, but Bucks look very good.
I'm on the best player in the world usually can pull it out. That's usually my line of thought. And so that's why I took the Bucks.
I mean, that's not – no arguments. Yeah, no arguments for me.
Joe, the Lakers season's in jeopardy after LeBron heard a pop in his foot. Ooh, thoughts?
It's sad. I mean, I do want, at this point, it's crazy, but I just want the Lakers to, I just want to see this version of the Lakers.
Yeah.
They look far more, with Vanderbilt, with Malik Beasley. They look far more entertaining than the Lakers have been in the past three or four seasons.
Heart. They have heart.
Yeah, they play hard. Vanderbilt, great defender. Malik can get hot. I've liked Austin Reeves, and I like him more now because he doesn't have to do too much. You know, Lonnie Walker can get hot. Schroeder can go back into his pocket of not doing too much if D'Lo's playing. And I even like D'Lo coming back. Like, his whole story is very interesting. So the Lakers are super interesting if healthy. Health has always been an issue. I think AD's also out today recording Wednesday, so... unfortunately, now all three guys are out. We'll see what happens. You know, after this, or when this, by the time this comes out, we will have played OKC and we'll see how that went. Not looking good, though, at the moment. It's looking unlikely that we're going to win that game. And that's a really important game for us to be able to make the play-in. So hopefully LeBron gets better quick, and so does AD, and so does D'Lo. And at least for like 15 games, maybe the Lakers can go like 12-3. Over the last 15 games. I think it's possible. So that will be cool.
All right. And last thing for the news. Jokic is aiming for his third MVP. He's averaging a triple-double now, shooting 63%, Joe, which is sixth in the NBA. And he's the only one in the top 10 in field goal percentage that's averaging more than 10 shots. And he's averaging 15. He's also fourth in the NBA in assists per game. Will he get his third MVP? First in the West?
Maybe, but... I don't think he should.
Hell.
I don't think he should.
It puts him in rarefied air.
I mean, ridiculous. It puts him in ridiculously rarefied air.
It puts him in, like, top 10 players of all time air.
You just... You can't, though, man. Look, I know it's season by season by season. I know. I understand, okay? We've already made this mistake before. Steve Nash, back-to-back MVP.
Yeah.
Least deserving back-to-back MVP in the history of – least deserving two-time MVP ever. Okay, you cannot tell me Steve Nash is a back-to-back MVP. Kobe has one MVP for his career.
Shaq has one.
That's so ridiculous, okay? I love Jokic. He's an amazing – anybody who thinks Jokic is not top five or anyone who thinks Jokic is not an amazing basketball player, period, or that you could throw him on any team and that's going to be an amazing
his
team.
His IQ is insane.
Yeah. Just like he's on that front. I mean, he's on the LeBron – Doncic, you know, that level of guy where you just throw him on a team and they're going to make the playoffs. Just throw him on any team, okay? And he's going to make everybody good enough. But look, he doesn't really play defense. If you're going to be a three-time MVP, you got to at least be in the top, I think, three players in the NBA. Really top two players. And I don't think Jokic has ever been that.
Interesting.
I don't think he's ever been that. I'm not sure he can ever be that.
You got to close games. You got to have takeover mode in your body. He's clutch.
Either offensively or defensively. And I don't think he does really either of those things. You know, Jamal Murray's the guy.
He's the guy.
In that situation. And even MPJ, I feel like. Even Michael Porter Jr. at the end of a game.
Yeah. He did it against the Clippers.
Because he just has never seen a shot he didn't like. Like, ever. Even while he was injured, shooting from home. I mean, this guy loves shooting. Does not love passing. But he could definitely learn from Jokic on that front. But
why pass? He's like, why pass? I have Jokic. He's averaging nearly a career low in assists. I don't know how that's possible.
When his career average is like one.
His career high is 1.9.
That's crazy. But, I mean, he's amazing, but he can't be a three-time MVP. He cannot be a back-to-back-to-back. No. We got to give it to Giannis. We got to give it to Embiid. Give Embiid some love. Like, Tatum, maybe. I don't know, man. Anybody. We cannot give it to Jokic. Yeah.
There's Another only time. Been three to ever do back to back to back. Bill, Larry, Wilt. Those are the only three in NBA history.
You can't. If you're going to screw Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Kobe Bryant out of MVPs, you can't give Jokic back to back to back. You just can't.
All right, Joe, let's move on to our main segment, an old faithful game we like to call All Day or Cray Cray, the all point guard version. So let's get right into it. First one, Russell Westbrook. The West Beast. After the Lakers traded Westbrook to the Jazz, he took a buyout. He took a buyout and finds himself on the Clippers because it was important for him that he didn't have to uproot everybody and move. I like that. Ty Lue said, this situation is different from the Lakers because it's all about surrounding Westbrook with shooters, which they have many of. And that makes sense. That's the way a spirit bomber operates. We're going to talk about a lot of spirit bombers today. However, the team is now 0-2. First loss, Westbrook didn't play in crunch time against the Nuggets. Second loss, he played in crunch time against the T-Wolves. They lost. Joe, all day or cray cray, Westbrook is done as an NBA starter.
I'm going to go cray cray. Because I think he's going to start the rest of this season. I think they're going to stick with him. I just want to say this because I feel like people are suddenly saying that Westbrook was never good. It's crazy. You know, Cliff, a stat we like is plus minus, right?
Yep.
With the Lakers, he was minus 58 this season. Mm-hmm. Last season, I know we give LeBron a lot of flack. Westbrook was minus 211.
Oh.
Not great. Season before
that. He's worth
that,
minus 211 points.
Season before that, Cliff, he was minus 87. Oh, so his past three seasons, he has not been good on plus minus. But if you go back before that, plus 124, I'm going backwards now.
Yeah.
18-19, plus 292, 17-18, plus
383. Oh,
16-17, plus 251, 15-16, Cliff, plus 635. plus 635. He's worth plus 635 points in 15-16. Okay,
oh, and one all season the before is MVP. One season before.
Yeah, and all the seasons, you know, keep going back, plus 247, plus 222, plus 634 again, 12-13, 366, plus 117, plus 278. Only his rookie season, he was minus 272.
Yeah.
Look, we understand Westbrook is somewhat polarizing as a player.
Yes.
You know, on a team. He does need a team that is designed a certain way. He's not a Jokic. He's not a, you know, he's not a Clay, right? I shouldn't have said Jokic, actually. He's not a Clay. You know, he's not that type of player where you can, or a KD, you throw him on any team, he's going to just fit in, right? He needs the ball in his hands. He needs a certain pace. He needs guys to complement some of his shortcomings. But do I think Westbrook is just washed? Not at all.
Yeah.
I think even with the Lakers, which is a completely predictably terrible situation for Westbrook, he was able to be productive at times, and his motor and his just instincts were very good still. And so I do think he'll be better with the Clippers. I think they'll figure it out. You know, the other thing is PG and Kawhi, who are obviously the two best players on that team, they don't need the ball in their hands a ton.
No.
You know, PG does a little bit. Kawhi does a little bit, but they're both fine catch and shoot. They're both good. They're both good shooters also, and they don't need to create a ton of offense. And they're not great, actually, at creating offense for other people. So I think Westbrook helps in that regard. The one thing I do think, Cliff, is he shouldn't close certain games.
Mm.
Yeah, there are times where they're going to try to expose him and make him shoot. And those are the times, look, you just can't have him in there. You just switch it up, go with a different lineup. But I think he should start.
They've been playing Eric Gordon over him.
Yeah, and I think that's fine because there are times where you need clutch shooting. But so it's situational. But as far as starting, I think he'll probably start the rest of the season.
Okay. Westbrook done as a starter. He can start for the bottom feeder teams.
Mm.
But he is done as a championship level starter. Now, the numbers may say otherwise. You say he's 16-6-9, two steals. Like, it's actually 2.3 steals, which is his best averages. Obviously, it's only two games. On 53% shooting, on 44% from three. Also, the least amount of threes he's been averaging since 2012. But his turnovers and his fouls are way up. Mm. Here's the thing, Joe. Here's why he's done as a starter, as a championship-level starter. He's 34 now. Russell Westbrook, as young and spry as you think he may look, he's 34. Typically, when you exit your prime is 33. 33 is the end of your prime. Charles Barkley used to say 28 to 33, that's your prime window. His athleticism still seems to be there, right? He yammed and mashed on Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those things, Joe, where you may have lost just half a step. Your speed is off just by a millisecond. But for these pros, routine and the things that you've done before, the instinct, it's critical. So some of the things that you used to see from Westbrook, he's doing a little, it's like the timing's off. The spin move, and he dribbled it out of bounds. That was on the Clipper game against the T-Wolves. The missed turnaround jumper, you know, like no lift on the shot. Missing off the backboard. Missing targets on passes just by a little bit. I think if you imagine playing StarCraft, or imagine playing Counter-Strike or Fortnite for you youngins, and you're on a 0.2 second lag, like
Warzone.
It's terrible. Imagine having a Zoom call with a little bit of, imagine doing this podcast with a little bit of lag. It would drive you insane. And that's basically what's happening with Westbrook.
0.2 seconds. I don't know. Here's the thing. I mean, if you're going to say championship starter, I mean, sure. But that was 3 years ago. Yeah. That was when he left. That was when he went to Houston. I was already, you know, we were already saying like, look, you can't, Westbrook can't be on a championship team. He suffers from the Harden syndrome a little bit. He's too good, you know, to not rely on. And then if you rely on him too much, he's going to make mistakes or you're going to have to change your offense in a way that doesn't suit championship level basketball. But starter, I think Westbrook, if Westbrook is truly done as a starter, he's done as an NBA player. He can't do 16 to 20 minutes. That's not, he'll never adapt to that role because he can't do that role. He's not useful in that role. It's a little bit like Melo. Melo was kind of not that useful in that role either. And Westbrook is that way as well because he's not going to have enough rhythm or enough, like, just being on the court to make an impact. And then at that point, it's just like better to just develop your younger players or have a shooter, you know, because that's better to complement the team. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, again, I think he'll start for the Clippers. I mean, we'll see. I think he'll just start for this team.
He's going to finish the season out as the starter.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, I don't think they're a championship team.
Will he start on a team next year?
I mean, if that's the question, yeah, I'll say no.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's any team out there that wants an aging superstar.
Yeah.
That demands the ball as much as Westbrook does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if that's the question, sure. I mean,
he's had a spectacular career. Like, we get it. But he's entering the twilight. Dude, he's Rocky Balboa, okay? He's Rocky Balboa. He needs to let Tommy Gunn be the fighter now, okay? He needs to let Adonis Creed fight, okay? Okay, no Creed, more Creed, getting
I'm,
in the ring.
I'm with Creed. I'm not with Tommy Gunn.
No more getting in the ring. You manage. You do it from the back. You do the Udonis Haslam and, you know, be the mentor. And look, he's been doing a great job of that. I mean, just think he can't be a 30-minute player anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Okay. From one guy exiting the prime to another fantastically in his prime, let's talk about Dame Dalla. He is putting on a freaking show. In the last 13 games, he's had four 40-point games. He's had a 60-point game. And now he's had a 71-point game.
Crazy.
And you watched it.
Yes, I did.
You watched it.
I was watching it.
In that 71-point performance, he scored 13 threes. He took just 38 shots. Joe, Klay and Giannis have attempted 39 field goals this season, and they both ended up with 54.
Crazy.
Not 71. Another fun fact, Rozier took 32 field goals this season and ended up with 28 points.
Guy has been killing my field goal.
Dame has been going off, really carrying this team on his back. Joe, here's a question for you. All day or cray cray, Dame Lillard is the best point guard in the NBA right now.
Right now, I'm going to go all day. I'm going to go all day. Four players in NBA history, Cliff, have scored 60 or more points in multiple games within a single season. Who are those players?
Four players have scored what? 60 or more?
60 or more, 60 plus in multiple games within one season.
It's Kobe.
Kobe.
Jordan.
Jordan.
Wilt.
Not Wilt. Yeah, the third one's a little tricky. We don't show him a ton of love, but he is an amazing scorer. Okay. We actually hate on him quite a bit.
Oh, it's LeBron? No.
This just makes me realize how bad he is in the playoffs. Because he's this amazing multiple. In the regular season, and he is so bad.
It's James.
Yep, it's James. James. Man, isn't that crazy? Only four players and he's on this list. And then obviously the fourth guy is Dame Dalla. Yeah. Man, Kobe, Jordan, Harden, and Damian Lillard.
It's elite only scoring. Four guys. That's an elite scoring list.
That is elite. Only three players, Cliff, in NBA history have ever had separate games with at least 50, 60, and 70 points in a single season. Only three players. Who are those three players?
Kobe.
Kobe, yep.
Jordan never had 70.
Nope. There's only one man.
Kevin?
No.
Dame and James?
Kobe. Wilt.
Oh, Wilt.
So Wilt, Kobe, and Dame. This is crazy. Dame!
Dame Dalla.
I think Dame is
one. Dame Dalla.
Here's a question, Cliff. Put Dame on the Warriors? Do they win a championship? In every situation Steph's been in, put Dame on the Warriors. Do they win that? Do they win a championship?
He gives different things. You know, Steph is perfectly fitted for that Warriors culture, system, that whole butterfly effect. I say no. I say no. But I think if you're any other team and you're like, should I take Dame or should I take Steph? You got to think about it. It's not a easy answer.
Put Steph in every situation Dame has been in. All the Blazers teams. Are they better or worse?
I think they end up better. I think they end up better. I do. He's a culture changer.
Possibly. I think possibly, actually. The second question, I think possibly. For if Dame had been in all of Steph's situations, I think they win more championships.
He's more clutch.
I think they win more championships.
I don't think they lose 2016.
I think 2016. They would have won. I don't think they lose 2016. Yep. And possibly.
The Raptors?
I think, yeah. It's more possible.
I think in those finals, yeah. You're right. But I think it's everything else around it. You know, you can't take that away from Steph.
No, I'm not trying to look. I think this is obviously only hypothetical, so it's not.
Yeah.
And I'm not ranking Dame above Steph, like all time or greatness wise. Of course, you can't.
That's impossible.
He didn't do those things. Yeah. So I'm not saying Dame's greater than Steph, but Steph's hurt right now anyway. But look, Dame's major knock is his lack of team success, right?
Right.
But when has he ever been the favorite?
Never.
Never. Like,
who's his best player that he ever played with? LaMarcus, 1 year?
Yeah, I mean, CJ McCollum. It's not even close. It's not even close to what any other point guard in the NBA has had.
Has there
been another point guard in the NBA who has ever had a worse supporting cast than Damian Lillard?
Has Dame ever played with an all-star? Is LaMarcus the only one?
LaMarcus the only one, yeah. And I don't was well, yeah. LaMarcus and, was and the that, well, but when was LaMarcus was an all-star, Dame was like a kid.
He was a rookie. He was a rookie. So like, take that out. Has he ever played with an all-star?
No.
I think the answer is no.
CJ's never been an all-star.
Yeah, CJ's never been an all-star, and that's his best player.
He's never like Cliff. Think about how crazy it is what Dame has done.
Yeah.
These are basically, like, these Portland teams should have been like Sacramento's been for the past 10 years.
Right.
Basically. What has he ever had on this team?
Yeah. Let's see. Let's see. So when was he drafted? Damian Lillard.
I have his stats right here.
2012. Okay. 12, so 12. Since he was drafted, they got CJ. The Blazers got Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Caleb Swanigan. They got Harry Giles, Justin Jackson. They got Simons, Nasir Little, Isaiah
Cliff,
Stewart.
I have it right here. I have it. Since 2015. So that's – when did LaMarcus leave? LaMarcus was the only one, I'm sure, right? Dang. Dame is crazy. Dame is crazy.
But, like, I mean, I guess they haven't had a top 15 pick.
Since 2015, Damian Lillard has played with zero MVPs, zero All-Stars, zero All-NBA teammates, zero Defensive Players of the Years.
Yeah, I'm just more thinking, like, are they a worse-run franchise than Sacramento? But I guess not, because they've had worse picks. So it's not like they swung and missed.
Yeah, but that's I don't know if you can. You can't. They basically just got Dame, and Dame has overachieved every single season that he's been there.
Which is they're why they have low draft picks. Cliff, yeah.
They're trying to tank right now. They are trying to tank right now, and Dame won't let them tank.
He's been awesome. He's 32-4-7 for those that haven't seen his stats. He's 32-4-7, 47% shooting, 38% from three, career highs in shooting percentage and scoring in points per game. He has career highs in nearly all these his advanced metrics, including PER, and his PER is at 27.3, which makes him seventh on the season. And that PER is better than every single Kobe season except the legendary 06 season. Dude, it's insane what he's doing right now by himself. Dame to me is like Michelle Yeoh. You and I have always celebrated her and loved her ever since she was protecting the Green Destiny. We know that. But it was only now that people are recognizing her force that she is. She stayed the course. She knew what it was. Yeah. But we've always known she was capable. Now she's getting SAG recognition. She's getting everything. And people are recognizing her greatness. And I feel like that's how people feel about Dame. It only took 10 years for them to realize how good Dame Lillard is.
I mean, look, the only reason I'm...
I still have Luka, though. I have Luka as the best point guard in the NBA.
I don't know, man. Kyrie's making Luka look bad.
We'll talk about that soon.
Kyrie's making Luka look bad. Oh, gosh.
But Dame's had some comments in the media recently. This is one of the things I love about Dame. He just tells it like it is. First one is, he said, for the haters, they better pray I don't win a championship, because what will they say then? I love that. And the second thing is, he talked about legacy and loyalty, and he dropped Westbrook's name. Hey, look at Westbrook. You leave OKC for Houston. Then James decided he's leaving. Now Russ is traded to DC. Then you got traded from DC to the Lakers. Now you're on your fourth team in 4 years. And then your second year on the team, they're talking about how they should trade you. Now you're coming off the bench. And this dude is a Hall of Famer, an MVP. It's an example that the grass isn't always greener. What a legendary comment that was. Yep. Legendary.
Yep.
Look, Dame is a beast. We know this. We know Dame is a beast. And he's in contention for one of the best point guards in the NBA. Whatever. If you don't have him there, then you're insane. You're insane. But I know him and Giannis have been flirting for a long time. They want to get together.
Oh, my gosh. Put Dame and Giannis together. That would be amazing.
It's Kobe and Shaq. That's Kobe and Shaq.
That it truly is Kobe and Shaq. That is the current generation Kobe plus the current generation Shaq.
All right. We talked about one point guard at the top of his game. We talked about one point guard at the bottom of his game. And now one that no one has any idea about.
We just Kyrie. Don't know. This guy's an enigma.
Kyrie, the master of the mystic arts, the cryptically confused prophet himself, Kyrie Irving. Let's talk about him.
Oh, gosh.
You like that?
I love it.
The Mavs are now 1-4 with Kyrie on the team. And the one win, Joe, is against, you guessed it, the San Antonio Spurs, who are on a legendary 16-game losing streak.
Oh, gosh.
They also blew a 27-point lead against the Lakers. Teams to this point in the season were 138-0 when leading by 27 until that game. Here's what Kyrie had to say about his struggles. The magnitude of the moment sometimes warrants special people to go up and beyond and do extra things. I'm at that place now, but I think I just need to scale back. Let the game come to me and flow into it. Because when we're playing that tense, I can feel the intensity around me.
Yeah.
What?
It's the Ryatsu. It's the Ryatsu, Cliff. He just needs to chill out.
Joe, all day cray cray. Kyrie has made the Mavs worse.
I mean, yeah, all day. All day. They look just horrible now. Here's the problem, though, Cliff. I mean, I give Kyrie... It's not blame. I don't want to give it blame because it's just a clash in styles. Mm. And the thing is, Man. Luka, the law of Luka might be stronger than the law of LeBron.
Oh!
Look what he did to KP.
Yeah.
And then look at KP now.
Yeah.
Look what he did to Jalen Brunson. And look at Jalen Brunson now.
He's excelled. Look at,
he's amazing. JJ Redick said he's been as good as any guard in the NBA since the new year, with the exclusion of Dame.
I mean, and then look what he's done. From a 16-point score to 24-point score.
Oh, no. And he's been on a tear the past, like, few weeks. Yeah, he's just been insane. And so, look. The law of Luka is freaking strong, Cliff. Because this guy needs the ball in his hands, like, every second of the every second of every moment of every day.
He plays much slower than LeBron.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he backs into the post from the three-point line. He gets the ball at the three-point line, faces up triple threat.
I hate that guy at the YMCA.
Turns around, and then slowly backs down his man till he gets to the block, and then, you know, operates from there with like 10 seconds left on the shot clock. Then he, you know, maybe he either spins away from the double team or he splits or he passes, you know, to the, but literally guys literally just need to stand out there and do nothing until the double team comes. Then maybe they'll cut. And it's just, man, this is excruciatingly slow. It's not even James Harden because it's most of the time it's not pick and roll. I mean, Luka's not running a ton of pick. He's going to the block.
He's ISO the whole time.
He's playing like Shaq. I mean, literally. Like, a lot of the time, he's like, he's either on top, you know, he's either on top playing like James Harden, or he's on the block playing like Shaq, waiting for the double team so he can pass out of it.
Incredible.
It is so boring. It is so terrible to watch. I mean, it's amazing. Look, Luka's amazing. If you can just narrow the game so much, like you can limit the options so much that they have to decide, you're putting them in this bind where they have to decide what to do. Like, I get it. It makes sense. But man, how can any other player possibly excel when with Luka? I don't think it's possible. Mm. Like, Luka needs guys who are, he needs like Rudy Gobert and a bunch of shooters. Or 3-and-D, actually, because he's actually not great on defense either. So he needs 3-and-D guys, and then Rudy Gobert, and that's it. Like, that's what he needs. That would be, like, the perfect team for
Luka. He's got Reggie Bullock. He's got Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, that's why those are the guys that they value. Those are the guys that they keep. Yeah, they're like Reggie Bullock.
He's got Maxi.
Yeah, Maxi Kleber. You need guys who can shoot threes, like bigs who can shoot threes. But
he hates Christian Wood.
I mean, look what happened to Christian. I mean, Christian Wood, Christian Wood's kind of a Hassan Whiteside. He's, you know, numbers don't really tell the story. But look at the numbers he was getting, and then look at the numbers he's getting now. I mean, it's just not the same. It's not that bad, I think. It's not that huge of a difference because Christian Wood finds a way to get numbers, like, no matter what situation he's in. He does find a way to get numbers, but it's not the same.
Oh, look.
Law of Luka strong. That's all I have to say. Law of Luka strong. Yes, Kyrie's made the Mavs worse, but it's not Kyrie's fault. It's just the fact that Luka cannot play with any other playmaker. He just can't play with another playmaker, period.
I just think it's cray-cray. Kyrie has not made the Mavs worse. They're not worse. They've had a stretch like this. They're going to go on stretches like this. This happens to every single LeBron super team when they start. They suck in the beginning. They suck until they figure out you just have to give everything to LeBron-sama or Luka-sama. If there's anyone, though, that can play with a spirit bomber, it's Kyrie. He's done it before. He's won a championship with that person. And Kyrie's numbers are good. 25-5-7 on 49% shooting, 38% from three. Lowest turnovers in his career. It's fine. It's just in crunch time. They look terrible. They look bad.
Cliff, look, okay, generally I agree with you. Look, they're going to get better, right? Obviously, they're going to get better. However, if this persists, okay, two big differences from this situation and what Kyrie's done before with LeBron. One, before, LeBron picked the team. Okay? Mm-hmm. Luka didn't pick this team. Mm. So Luka didn't – I don't think Luka wanted Kyrie. You know, I mean, if you could have asked Luka, who do you want on this team? I highly doubt that Kyrie Irving would be one of them. Like when Kyrie and Luka talk about each other, it's like they're doing it through gritted teeth. Like Luka's like, yeah, he's one of the best fourth quarter scorers. Why would we not? You know what I mean? Like, why would we? Because if you watch the post game pressers, those are all the questions, and it's like, you know, are you okay with the shot? You know, so the most recent one, step back three, Kyrie misses, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, are you okay with the shot? And Luka's answer is, it's a correct answer. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, why would we not be okay with it?
That's what we got him for.
Yeah, exactly. He was the best fourth quarter scorer in the league, literally, before he came to, you know, Dallas. And Luka was the best 1-3 quarter scorer in the league. You put that together, and on paper, you think, oh, that's a match made in heaven, right? But, you know, things don't always work out that way. But it seems like Luka's not super happy about Kyrie being there. And obviously, Kyrie didn't want to go to the Mavs, even though he says he planned it 4 years ago or whatever. And obviously, he wants to end up with the Lakers. He wants to play with LeBron. And the worse the situation gets, Cliff, the worse it can get. Mm. Right, like the more they keep losing in the clutch and they do these weird things, the more they're not going to be happy, and it can just spiral down out of control. I really believe that because, you know, Kyrie's a rental. Do you even like? I don't like when players have conflicted motivations because nobody can really control that, right? Like if in the back of your mind you kind of want to lose, right? I mean, explain Kobe against the Suns. Who, like, for everything you know about Kobe Bryant, why would he ever do that, right? Because in the back of his mind, he's like, yeah, but we win this series, and then what?
Yeah.
You know? Or I'm getting criticized if I do, I'm getting criticized if I don't. You know, I do this, I get criticized, I do that. And, you know, when that's just lingering in the back of your mind, it is much more likely that you're willing to just be like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, whatever. We lose, whatever. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm just going to live my life, right? Like you pull a LeBron and you say, you all got to live your lives. You got to go back to your crappy lives. I'm going to go back to my millionaire life, right? You know, I'm paraphrasing. But right, like, yeah, because the more it gets that to that level, right? It gets that bad. And then Kyrie, he starts thinking what? Because he did the same thing in Boston. What do you start thinking? I'm out of here next year, so whatever, guys. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not coming back. I'm not going to attend games. I'm just pulling a ripcord, right? And look, for Luka, I mean, he's a competitor and whatnot, but he doesn't come into seasons in shape. And I don't think he lives and dies basketball right now. He's not there yet. He's not going to kill himself for a championship, okay, right now. So if it gets bad enough, I can see them imploding in the playoffs. I can see them being a first-round exit or earlier, potentially, in the play-in. So I don't know. I'm not going to just say, hey, this is LeBron in 2012, you know, or this is LeBron in 2015. Like, they're going to figure it out. They're going to get better. Luka is not there yet. He has not won a championship, and he's not desperate. Like, the media doesn't talk every day about, like, oh, Luka can't be great because he doesn't have a championship. No. He's in a different phase of his career where everyone is, if they flame out, right, what percentage of blame do you think Luka will get, Cliff?
None.
Of course. He's going to get negative 100%, right? It's going to be 100% Kyrie's fault. He's going
to average 33-9-9.
Yeah. It's going to be all Kyrie's fault. And also, it's going to be a little bit Mark Cuban's fault. It's going to be a little bit of management's fault. It's going to be probably 75% Jason Kidd's fault. I know that adds up to like 300%, but that's what's going to happen. And, you know, yeah, Luka, he doesn't care. He's like, whatever. Does he really believe? Cliff, does Luka believe they're going to win a championship this year?
Of course not.
Of course not. So does he care that much if they lose in round one or if they lose in round two?
He's having a great time. He's just playing basketball in the U.S., having a great time, being a superstar. He doesn't care yet.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care, Cliff.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He's in it for the memes, and he's in it for the awards.
He doesn't have
the killer instinct. And look, he also knows MVP is out of the question now.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, what really is, like, what motivation does he have? The only motivation now is they go crazy. Kyrie and Luka start playing crazy, right? Just enough to lose in the second round. And it looks just good enough where management thinks we should re-sign Kyrie.
Mm.
Let's give him the max. Does Luka even want that, Cliff? You know, like, does Luka want that? Did Kobe really want Kwame Brown to look just good enough where they're like, hey, this team's solid?
He sent all his help shipping, like packing. He said KP packing, you know? Brunson packing. He said Dinwiddie packing.
It's crazy how people are blaming management for those moves when it's clear Luka didn't want those players.
Mm-mm. I wonder who he does want. Jokic? He's probably the only person he wants, and that wouldn't even work.
I don't think he wants any. Like, who does he want? I don't think he wants anyone. He doesn't want anyone better than him.
What a funny guy. I love it. What's his, like, personality comp, you think? Like, he just, like doesn't care.
In the world or, like, in the NBA?
Like, maybe NBA history. Is there any other player that's kind of like that? That's kind of, like, doesn't really care if he wins?
Like, doesn't care. Literally doesn't care.
He's just, like, loves what he's doing.
But he hasn't experienced it yet, Cliff.
The heartbreak.
The media scrutiny. Nobody's criticizing Luka right now.
No.
Luka's the golden boy.
He's a darling.
Yeah, he's a darling. But once... I mean, how many seasons has Luka been in the NBA?
5.
Imagine Jason Tatum wins a championship. Right? Imagine De'Aaron Fox gets to the finals. Imagine Devin Booker wins a championship. Right? Then Luka's going to start to feel it.
I think the difference for him is he succeeded. Like, versions of it, right? Like, yeah. Where he had the game winner against the Clippers, you know? Yeah. And then he flamed out. He went to 7 games in the following year. He beat the Suns the past year, got to the conference finals. He's like, it's stepping,
yes,
right?
Of course.
But what happens if he loses the play-in game?
Yeah, it's after this season, Cliff. It's gonna.
Yeah.
They're not gonna go to the Western Conference Finals. Okay, no. I'll just say that right now, straight up, because one, they have Kyrie, and it's gonna be problematic. Two, teams are going to figure out something, some way to not stop Luka, but slow down their offense and expose their weaknesses. And three. Like, I don't, you know, they're not going to catch people by surprise.
Yeah.
Right? People are going to come in, not scared, but, like, appropriately, you know, not worried, but, like, on guard. Right? People are going to come in on guard. Like, hey, we have to take this team seriously. We know on paper it's weird because they just have Luka, but, like, we have to take them seriously. Right? And, well, now they have Kyrie, too, so I'm sure that that's going to be a factor. And so they're going to come in prepared and, you know, as long as everyone's healthy, somebody else is going to, you know, make the Western Conference Finals, right? So they're going to underachieve by some metrics, you know, and starting next season, there's going to be like a, hey, when is Luka going to have, like, blink. When's he going to get to the finals? Yeah.
Or when's he going to be MVP or.
Yeah. And they'll just be whispers. It's not going to be enough. But within 2 or 3 seasons, because remember early LeBron, Cliff? Mm-hmm. They were anointing him, like, by 08.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, LeBron's he's the king. He's the best player in the NBA, right? But what happened by 2010 when they lost to Orlando the previous season and then he flamed out against Boston? Then what happened? Then it was like, oh, is he ever going to win a championship?
Mm-hmm. Does he have, like, he doesn't have the killer instinct. Like,
does he have the killer instinct? Does he have the clutch gene? Passing too much, you know, in the clutch, in these clutch moments, right? That's all going to start.
That All-Star game when he passed the last shot.
People who think that LeBron is, like, criticized since the first day he stepped, No, he was the darling of the NBA for 5 to 7 seasons, right? People were putting him up right next to Kobe and saying, hey, this is what we want. We have Kobe, we have LeBron, right? And Kobe had already been in the league.
Make the puppets.
And Kobe had already been in the league for like 10 years by then, mm-hmm. right? He had 3 championships. He was like, he had already earned his place. And LeBron was being anointed by like his second season.
Mm.
You know, 04, 05, it was like, oh, LeBron James, you know, he's the chosen one.
No, that was over. That was over after year one.
You know,
he was the chosen one in year one, and then he became the king in year two.
He didn't make the playoffs his first season.
He became the king.
Oh. But, I mean, you know, it was, and he overachieved, remember? Beat the Wizards. That whole thing. Tap crab, Gilbert Arenas.
Crab dribble.
Crab dribble. Yeah. 4 steps. It was a jump so stop bad. And then a pivot and then another pivot.
And then a step through.
And then a step through. And then a step through.
Karan Butler was so like, what?
It's what Micah does in his league where they don't call traveling.
Mm.
He picks up the ball, pump fakes, and then dribbles again. And he's like the least egregious offender. There's kids who just they just run with the ball, man. They just looking like Christian McCaffrey out there. They just be like picking the ball up and just.
But you're right. This is the season, just like LeBron. He got there. 08, the puppets were made. He made that game winner against Orlando.
Yeah.
Didn't go further than that. Lost to Orlando, right? Then like a little bit of whispers, just like a little bit of whispers.
Yep.
Then he flames out against Boston. Then it's all like, okay, can he even do it?
Yeah, but you then, know why? It,
yeah.
And then the decision. And
then
that
the decision.
I brought the avalanche of criticism.
Brought the avalanche. Uh-huh.
Right. When he said when he had the interview in front of the kids at the YMCA, and that's when all the memes started. This is tough.
This is tough. That's my favorite.
That's when the this is tough memes.
This is tough.
Taking my talents to South Beach. I mean, who's ever going to forget those words?
I don't know if Luka's as sensitive, though. As LeBron is, right? Because Luka is clutch. He
but
is
let me
clutch.
Ask you. Let me ask you something, Cliff.
Not a killer.
Did LeBron ever seem sensitive before the decision?
That's
not
true.
Not he never
me.
Appeared sensitive to me. I never thought he was sensitive.
When he was yamming on the Pistons, he seemed like a killer to me.
They didn't seem sensitive to me, Cliff. You know, when everybody was praising him, he didn't seem sensitive to me. He seemed fine.
Yeah.
He seemed very jokey with the media. He
yeah,
seemed
you're like,
to be,
oh, this guy is very charismatic.
Yeah. Generally jovial personality. Weren't we comparing him to like Shaq, Cliff?
It when was he was
like,
dancing in the All-Star dance battle against Shaq.
Yep. And I was like, oh, this guy's, he's just fun. He's a fun, and he is a fun guy. Like, to
he
his
is
credit,
a fun
right?
guy.
He's totally a fun, very gregarious, right? And all the players like that about him. And, you know, there was all that stuff in the doc, right? Where they talked about it, the redeemed him.
Kobe was jealous, genuinely jealous.
And it's, look, I don't blame LeBron at all. We've talked about this before. But the media overhyped him. And so what did that lead to? What does that lead to? It leads to the media wants you to fall.
Yep.
And then when you fall, then they're going to hit you hard.
Yep.
Luka doesn't know yet. Luka doesn't know where the bottom is, Cliff, because he's ascending. He's on a roller coaster that's ascending. He doesn't know where the fall is.
And he's about to hit his first speed bump.
Oh, yeah. He just did. It's called Kyrie.
To bring it home.
His first speed bump is called Kyrie Irving. And now he's like, oh, this is a little different. I didn't know this ride had a corkscrew. Oh, these G's are these are some powerful G's here. Blacking out a little bit. It's
blacking
like the first
out.
Time you wrote Goliath, right? Yeah, you're like, oh shoot, did they tune this right? Like what's going on? feel a little queasy now. It's like I was having fun. I was really enjoying this ride, but now I'm getting a little queasy. And then I don't know if he's ready. I don't know if he's ready, Cliff, for what's gonna look. Luca, he is sensitive. You see how he gets snippy. Look how many technicals he has. Look how he complains about the refs so much, right?
He does.
So yes, in one sense,
and
it's like
battle
he
with
cares.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, he cares less than LeBron in one sense, but he cares a lot more than LeBron in another sense.
We might be in for the same narrative.
LeBron is very legacy focused, right? I don't think Luka's as legacy focused, at least not at the moment, right? But I'm not sure if Luka is any less perception focused. We just don't know yet. We'll see. I'm not saying he is, but we'll see how this whole Kyrie thing plays out. Who can survive Kyrie? You know,
Tatum. He's the only one. It's the only one.
Tatum is a very humble guy.
Yeah.
I think that is part of his success. He's very humble and like understated. And I think that's huge.
Yeah. All right. That was All Dare Cray Cray, point guard edition. Why don't we hit our two for the road? Joe, I'll start with my one for the road.
Mm.
There's a show on Netflix called The Perfect Match. Perfect Match, right up my alley. Dating show. It's got Netflix reality TV all-stars on it. From The Circle, Too Hot to Handle, From the Mole, all that stuff. They come together in a way that's like Bachelor in Paradise. Guys come in, girls pick, guys go out. Girls come in, guys pick, girls go out. Blah, blah, blah. And at the end, everyone votes for their perfect match. No spoilers here. So they, in the middle, between episodes, during episodes, there's competitions. And there's competitions to get to know your person better, your significant other, the person you're dating. And Joe, this is what I want to talk about. Because someone on that Netflix production committee is watching our podcast. Because one of the games they play is Fact or Cap. I was like, what the? That is an exact game we have played before. And another game they play is called Cringy or Cute. They didn't do Bingy.
If it was Cringy or Bingy, Cliff, I would have definitely just
screamed.
I would have called them out. I would have called them out for sure. I'm contacting someone from that show.
I was like,
that is our thing for sure.
I was shocked. Adrian was like, Cringy Bingy? They were like, Cringy or Cute? And I was like, oh, whoa. But Joe, I had to bring it to your attention because someone at Netflix, a producer at Netflix, put this game together. They're like, hey, why don't we do Cringy Bingy? Like, where'd you hear that from? Oh, I heard it from podcast. Maybe we should change it. Can we do another thing with Cringy? Because I like the ring of Cringy. Cute. Alliteration. Let's go that way. Sold.
Joe. Guys, does Cringy or Cute sound nearly as good as Cringy Bingy?
You got to rhyme it. Rhyming is better than the alliteration.
Or is either of those as good as... I don't remember what it was. What was it? Bland.
Chef's kiss. Bland or idiot sandwich. Those are the three. Okay.
Oh, the worst game of all time.
Okay.
Cliff, if that ever ended up, if we're watching some Gordon Ramsay show, some new Gordon Ramsay show, okay? And they're like, we got a new game. We're going to label it Chef's Kiss, Bland, or Idiot Sandwich. Yeah. We're going to sue them. Straight up. Gordon's like, we're getting the SBR lawyers.
It's Bland.
We're getting
it's
the
bland.
SBR lawyer team.
Which is you and me. So, Joe, this is not a recommendation for that show. It's just bringing the evidence to the court that there is.
Guys, we're reaching out to happen. You. We're reaching out to the tens. Okay. And we're asking you. Maybe I think our listenership has grown, Cliff. I'm going to call it the dozens. We're reaching out to the dozens. And we're going to say, if you guys ever see something like that, please let's flood them with comments. Let's flood them with 20 comments. You know, that say, hey, you guys stole this from SBR.
Oh.
We would greatly appreciate that. We'll take it to the court of the people, Cliff. That's the court. That's the only court where we know the law. Where we are.
Joe, what is your one for the road?
Did you see the trailer for The Flash?
I did. The Super Bowl trailer.
It looks good.
It does.
It looks good. I'm actually really excited about it. I think this is the only... Part of me is, like, excited because Michael Keaton's in it.
Yeah. That's the biggest reason.
Yeah. I mean, so his Batman's going to be in it. I've heard that Ezra Miller's really good in it. I've heard that the only reason that they actually kept this movie together, despite all the crazy stuff that's been going on with Ezra Miller, is because the movie is that good.
Mm.
And so I think it's possible that this is going to be, like, the best movie from this version of DC, which is both cool, because I think it would be really cool to just see a very comic booky, very well-produced and, you know, tightly written and actually making sense, you know, movie from this version of the DC universe. But it's also kind of sad because we know that they're probably not going to continue this DC universe. But I think it'll be a nice, like, cap on it and a nice, like, what it could have been if you just take all the good parts of this iteration of DC. So I am excited about it. I hope it's good. I have a feeling it is going to be really good, though. I have a feeling it's going to be probably the best thing that they've ever put out. Do you think, Cliff, if it is, like, amazing, let's say it gets 100% Rotten Tomato score and...
Even if it got 97, 95.
It makes $1 billion, you know, $2 billion.
Yeah.
You know, it gets to like the end game level of like $1.5 billion.
So they're starting the DCEU with Flash, basically?
Well, just do you think that will nudge them in the direction of continuing that version? Or do you think they'll just be like, nah?
It has to. Although, I don't know. Maybe James Gunn has his vision and it's like already complete.
I mean, he's already released it and he said it's going to, you know, they have it all set up. They did say, I mean, they left a little space because they said we're going to have Elseworlds, basically, which is their version of just like multiverse. They're just saying like all these universes can exist at the same time. It's not going to be part of the main canon that he's doing, but maybe he's just going to let directors do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they will continue that? Even with Ezra Miller and like all the craziness that's surrounding him? And I mean, I don't know if he's going to jail or what. Like
it's tough.
Yeah.
Okay. When you got Kyrie on your team, it's just hard. You don't know what's about to happen. Okay.
Is Ezra Miller the Kyrie of
the DCEU?
Superhero movies?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. It's just confusing. Like when he's in the movie, you're like, wow, you're an artist. You can put up points, dude. You're fantastic artist. In this movie.
You're like one of the greatest artists of all time.
But then, man, when you're off screen and left to your own devices and things happen, it's just like, what? The earth is not flat, dude.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Keaton's a good actor and, Luka Doncic is a good basketball player, but you know, it's just like there's only so much you can do. Anyway, I'm excited. I think it's going to be good. It'll be a nice swan song to Kyrie's career.
All right. That's it, everybody. Thanks for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, share, comment, rate, give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is SBR with Cliff and Joe. Peace.
Peace.
Ready?
Wait, give me 1 second.
Sure.
Yeah. Here we go.
Right. Three, two, one. Wait, what?
I went. Did you go?
Oh, what? No. Do it over.
I was explaining what happened. What was happening? I was like, I'm trying to appease you.
Why are you saying something in the middle of me?
I'm trying to appease you.
Obviously, that's confusing.
I'm trying to follow your rules to make your life easier.
When Hurley's running toward the hatch and like yelling stuff, obviously he doesn't want them to do it. You're saying something in the middle of a countdown. It means stop. It means stop the countdown.
All right, go ahead.
Ready? Three.
Okay.
No, now I feel like if you... Okay. Three, two, one, go. Right.
Okay. Yeah, I probably should have waited till the end, but I was explaining. I didn't think he would stop.
Obviously, I'm going to see what you're saying. If someone's counting down. And you're saying something.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you think how urgent it is.
During the count, it must be urgent. You're interrupting somebody's countdown. Why else would you say something in the middle of a countdown unless it's urgent?